Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. How many of you think that God understands us a little bit there? And he threw that little incentive in there because he knows we're bad. We're just bad. He almost gave us a bad reason to do a good thing there. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful words of instruction. And my goodness sakes, I feel like the portion of scripture we just read, we could probably start there in verse number 9 and teach a phrase at a time, and maybe we could be here on for a lot of Wednesday nights. Thank you for this great instruction. Now bless, Lord, as we take one of these instructions that we've read, and we hone in on it. Help it, Lord, tonight to make us a better church. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. First 11 chapters of the book of Romans is just purely doctrine. It's just doctrinal teachings. It's good, it's rich, it's deep, it's wonderful. But it's just line upon line, precept upon precept, just doctrine teaching us what we ought to believe and where we ought to stand. Then, beginning in Romans chapter 12, we have application of the doctrine. I don't believe God teaches us anything just for the sake of knowledge. I think that everything that God wants us to know, it ought to have a real life, what I call it, where the rubber meets the road effect in our lives. So everything that we're taught ought to affect the way that we live and the way that we act. And so we have, beginning in verse number 9, what I call these little shotgun burst commands or reminders. You see something very similar at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where you'll see just a number of verses, just very short commands, short reminders, short pieces of instruction. And so down through here, of course, my goodness, like I said, if I started down in chronological order, I'd never get to the one that I want to focus on tonight. But I want to just direct your attention to verse number 13, and I want to just cover one of these commands or one of these reminders, and then we're going to take it and look at it at other places in the New Testament. The last three words of verse number 13, gives us this command, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. I want to preach tonight on the importance of hospitality, the importance of hospitality. Chapter 12, Romans, of course, is written to all Christians. Verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So everything that's going to be given in this chapter is for Christian people. It's for all of the assembly. It's for everyone that calls the name of Christ as the member of the local assembly. So this little command here, or reminder in verse number 13, given to hospitality, is a command for every single person. Now, I want to define, first of all, what hospitality is according to the Bible, how it's used in the Bible, and then I'm going to take you to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we're going to do these just in pretty quick order. 5 places in the New Testament where we see this word hospitality. In one place, it is translated from the Greek. Instead of the word hospitality, it's translated entertain. but the same Greek word five times in the New Testament. And I want to teach us a little bit about the importance of hospitality in the local assembly. The word hospitality comes from a Greek word. It's actually two partial words that are put together and making them, they make one Greek word. If you looked at it in front of you, you would see philonexia. The first part of the word is philo. Now, you remember when we teach on love and what the Bible teaches when it talks about love. You've got agape love, which is the God love. You have phileo or philo love. And that just means a dearness or a fondness or a friendliness that is shown. So the first part of that word is speaking about the human aspect of showing a dearness towards somebody or a fondness or an affection or a friendliness towards an individual. The last word there, N-E-X-I-A, is translated alien or guest or stranger. Alien or guest or stranger. So when it says for us to practice or to be given to hospitality, what that is saying is that every single Christian, now get this, get it, okay? Every single Christian ought to have and ask God to help them to develop a dearness and a friendliness and a fondness towards aliens or towards foreigners or towards guests or towards somebody that's a stranger, somebody that we don't know, somebody that is a new acquaintance. Now, this becomes important for the local assembly. And let me say this. Number one, according to Romans 12:10, all Christians should be given to hospitality. All Christians should be given to hospitality. There ought to be developed in our hearts, and I don't think this is something, some people are more born naturally with it than others, but this is something that you can develop. It's a skill set that as a Christian should be honed and refined in your life. You ought to ask the Lord to help you to have this a natural draw towards people that are strangers, that are guests here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me just say this. Some of the old-timers used to say it's the skill of being folksy. You know what the word folksy means? It's the ability to come up to somebody and to talk to them and introduce yourself and make them feel at home, make them feel at ease, make them feel that they're welcome and they're cared for and they're cared about. Folks, listen to me. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to be alert to the idea that there's going to be people on a regular basis. I think we're blessed here. I think it's absolutely amazing the number of visitors that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're blessed in that regard. Now listen, we have to make sure that as a corporate group, every single Christian, we ought to understand that it's our responsibility to be given to hospitality, to make an effort to reach out to people, to make an effort to help them to feel at home, to feel at ease, and to feel accepted, and to feel loved. And the Bible uses the word here, given. We need to learn to just give ourselves to that. Like I said, I think some people, personality-wise, it's probably easier for some than it is to others, but the command is for all, so if it's a little harder for you, you have to work at it a little bit harder. You have to hone the skill a little bit more. But number one, all Christians should be given to hospitality. That's the first Bible command that we find concerning this word. Now, let me have you go to 1 Timothy, and we'll move through the scriptures and look at all of these verses, and then we'll draw some conclusions at the end of our Bible study. But 1 Timothy, if you'll go there next, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. It's interesting. I'll have you look at this, and then I'm going to have you probably go ahead and look over into Titus also, which is just a few books past 1 Timothy. But first of all, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, we are given instruction as far as the requirements or the qualifications of a bishop or a pastor. 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Notice, here it is again, given to hospitality. In other words, one of the requirements, one of the qualifications to pastor is that you ought to have within you a dearness or a friendliness or a fondness towards people that are guests, the people that are strangers. You ought to hone the ability to be able to go to them, to learn to be folksy, to make people feel cared about and feel at home, feel at ease. This is something that is a requirement. Now, before I say much else about it, there's a very similar list in Titus. Let's just head on over there. Titus teaches us the same thing, again, talking about a bishop, only it's phrased a little differently here. But Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7 says this, Titus 1:7, "For a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Notice this, "but a lover of hospitality." In one place, instruction is given to the bishop that they are to be given to hospitality. They're to give themselves to this. In this portion, they're supposed to be a lover of hospitality. Now, this isn't a requirement for the ministry. I'm not sure that this isn't something that if we were in Bible college or if you were conducting a class teaching young preachers and you were going through this and they were in the preparation process to make sure that they were rounding out their lives and developing what they need to so that they'd be qualified to one day pastor a church. You know, sometimes these things are not emphasized enough. But you know what? One of the things that a young man who's called in the ministry needs to do is to develop an ability, an ease around people, a willingness to approach folks and make them feel at ease, to learn to talk to folks and to learn to learn to make them feel at ease and to hone that skill, develop that skill. A lot of times you can develop that by being around people that seem to be able to do this normally or naturally, watch them interact with people. But bottom line is this, it's not a suggestion in these portions of Scripture. It is a qualification. So now, the Bible says that all of us as Christians are supposed to be given to hospitality. So that doesn't mean if you're not a preacher, you don't have to be nice to people. But what it says is this, if you're going to be a pastor, you've got to be nice to people. Now, this was a major stumbling block in my calling. I'm not kidding you. One of the things that I had to ask the Lord to help me with is when I was a young man and I got called to preach, one of the difficult things for me was the fact, don't get mad at me, but I, as a young man, really didn't like people that much. I just didn't. Now, I'm not going to boo-hoo or cry or I'm not complaining about being a PK, but one of the things about being raised in a preacher's home is that you feel like you live in a glass house all the time. That's just something that comes with it. That's one of the reasons that your pastor, through the years, I've protected as much as possible some of the privacy of our home. I wanted our girls to feel like that home was home, and that was. And we didn't have a revolving door on our front door of our house. We didn't have church every night. We had a home. And because everything that you do, you live in the public eye all of the time. And again, I'm not griping, I'm not complaining, but if you grow up in that, it's kind of like, I don't want to be around people. I want to avoid people. If I have to go see people, I will, but if I don't have to, I'd be happier not to. And now, all of a sudden, I'm called into the ministry, and here I've got this, you know, this little bit of a problem, because I'm supposed to minister to people, and I don't like them. I'm supposed to minister to people, and I don't really love them much. And I'm kind of kidding about it, but the honest truth is, I had to go to the Lord about this. And I had to say, Lord, I need you to really give me a genuine love for people. And I did. And I think that the Lord did do that during my training years, during my Bible college years. I had to pray and ask the Lord to specifically really break my heart for people. Now, one of the reasons I was like that, and by the way, if you're kind of like that, we might as well be honest. So let me tell you honestly, one of the reasons I was like that, one of the reasons that people are like that and they don't want to be around people, they don't like people, is that I was just selfish. You know, it's a lot easier to be interested in you than it is to be interested in somebody else. It's a lot easier to do what you want to do than find out what somebody else wants to do. So some of that's just selfishness. Well, I don't like people. What does that mean? That means that you don't like dying to self. You don't like having to invest in others. You want to do what you want to do, and you want to be with you. So some of that you just have to is just selfishness. But some of it is just the fact that you know what? You have to seek the fullness of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, first of all. And the more that you surrender to God, the more you die to self, and the more that you empty sin and selfishness out of your life, it's amazing how God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you this, I am not that same person. I should say supernaturally, because of God's blessing and because of God in my life, I'll tell you something, I love people now. I love complete strangers, and it's really odd. I feel like I'm a different person completely than I used to be. But when I watch people come to the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I don't even know them, and yet I'm excited. I can't wait to meet him. I love meeting people that I've never met before. I love finding out about their lives. I love being able to see if I can find a way that I can help them or be a blessing to them or minister to them or just be a friend to them. And so if you don't have that, you know what? Ask God for it. Because I will tell you this, if you ask the Lord to help you and to break your heart and to really help you, to learn to love people, he'll do it. He will do it. Now, he may do some things in your life to get that accomplished, but he will do that, and that's a very important thing to do. Ask God to give you a genuine love for people, a fondness, not just an agape love. You know what? You can love people and not like them. Anybody want to testify there? I preached the other day about how people that were lost were under the wrath of God. The Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Jerry, that didn't make any sense. I thought God loved lost people. Now you're telling me God's mad at lost people. Come on now. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you dearly love but you'd like to wring their neck? Absolutely. We can all relate to that. Amen. So just because, that doesn't mean God doesn't love them. It just means he's mad at them while he loves them and he wants them to get saved. And now the thing about it is it's twofold. God, first of all, give me a love for people. And then God, help me just to develop the skill set and to like people so that I can have some hospitality towards them so that I can make them feel at home. Now, let me have you go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to move on, check these other scriptures out real quick. And then I want to just give the church tonight some very practical advice as far as helping us to hone us in this area of the importance of hospitality here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Beautiful portion of scripture here. 1 Peter 4, 8. Notice this. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality. This is interesting, by the way. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now, verse 8 and 9 is really dealing with relationships within the assembly, not dealing necessarily with strangers or brand new people or folks that are guests here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God uses the same word, hospitality, but says use that one to another. Now, wait a minute, preacher. You told me a minute ago that the word's defined as a love or a fondness or a dearness or a friendliness towards an alien or guest or a stranger. And you know what God was saying? Was saying, good, I'm glad if you've developed that. But listen, here it is, folks. Sometimes it's a lot easier to be nice to people we don't know than people we do know. And it'd be a shame that if we were kind and dear and friendly and showed fondness and affection toward strangers that come in here, but we walk past four or five church members that we go to church with every week, and we can't have that same friendliness and fondness and affection towards them. So that's the Bible uses that word in a very interesting manner and saying, listen, he reminds us, listen, this same love, this same fondness that you're showing and that you're developing to show to complete strangers, hey, don't forget each other. It's a shame that some Christians are more friendly to visitors than they are the Christian brothers and sisters. Now, extend this same kindness and this same fondness and this same affection amongst yourself. Make each other feel accepted and loved in this assembly. One more. Let's back up to Hebrews chapter 13, just a few books back. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read verse number 1 and verse number 2. Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now the word entertain and entertained there comes from the exact same word as is translated in these other portions of Scripture, hospitality. If you look it up, you'll see it's the exact same word. And so what the Bible again is reminding us, verse 1, hey, love each other. But, verse number 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, in 1 Peter, it was saying, listen, don't show hospitality towards strangers and forget the brethren. In this portion of Scripture, it's saying, hey, don't be spend so much time loving the brethren that you forget to entertain strangers. Because there's the two problems we can have. Sometimes, as people come in and visit the church, you know, we've got so many people we haven't seen. I mean, good night. Sometimes we haven't seen them from Sunday to Sunday, depending on shift work or whether they were able to make the midweek service. Sometimes we haven't seen them from Wednesday to Sunday. We got to catch up with this person. We're trying to find out about this person. And we can spend so much time fellowship amongst the church membership that we overlook the visitor or the new person that comes into the church. And so the Bible says, do both. Let brotherly love continue. Amen for that. But also, be not forgetful. I love the fact that the Bible phrases it that way. I don't think most of us have come to church with the mindset, you know what, I'm not going to greet any visitors this week. I think that we just have a lot of things going here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Seems like there's a meeting to get to, or there's somebody in the church we got to ask a question to, or we got to get clarification on something, and you know, if we're not careful, we spend all of our time chasing each other around. Visitors walk in, visitors walk out, and they do not feel like that they have really been made to feel at home. And so here's the instruction. Let me summarize what we read. I know we went quickly through it. Here's what the Bible teaches. All Christians should be given to hospitality. Pastors must be given to hospitality. Beyond that, they're to become lovers of hospitality. Number 4, hospitality should be shown to the brother, not just the visitors. And also, Hebrews 13:2, we're to love the brother, but we got to also be careful we don't forget about people that are strangers. Now, I like this Hebrews 13:2. Let me say one more thing about it. It's interesting that hospitality is encouraged. The way that it's encouraged in this verse, it's encouraged by reminding us that God sometimes sends a visitor to our church. God could do that. You say, has that ever happened? I don't know. I don't have any neat stories. I can't tell you about a visitor that came in and I thought it was just a normal person. And as I was watching them walk out to their car, instead of getting into the car, they sprouted wings and flew out into the... I don't have any neat stories like that. I wish I did. It'd be really cool, you know. Or, all of a sudden, you know, we greet a visitor. We were friendly to them. And just all of a sudden in the foyer, they just all of a sudden start glowing and lift up through the roof. I don't have any stories like that. I do have this scripture. I do have this command. God literally in the scripture says, I'm encouraging you to remember to be hospitable or entertain strangers. And then he reminded us in the scriptures that he sometimes sends visitors. And we could go through the Old Testament and we could show where Abraham, others have entertained who they thought was just people coming by. They were gracious. They used hospitality. And you know what? At the end of that time together, they discovered this was not just a man. This was a literal messenger of God. This was an angel. Sometimes even the Lord himself in the Old Testament came in the appearance of a man. Now, I don't know, but you know what? We might watch this. We might literally get to heaven one of these days and find out that God said, hey, you know what? I didn't let you know before and I didn't let you know after. Boy, about once a year, I just told one of my angels, you know what? Why don't you just head on down to Blessed Oak Baptist Church? Maybe this week, just go as a little 13-year-old girl and, you know what, maybe not be too well scrubbed and maybe not have the nicest of clothes and just get on a bus somewhere and just ride on in. I just kind of like to see how the folks treat her in the foyer. I want to see how the other girls in the class treat her. I want to see if her Sunday school teacher really cares about her, really loves her. You just go down there and spend a Sunday morning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come on back, report to me. I want to know how things are going on down there. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, has that ever happened? I don't know. We may get to heaven and find out. We might be shocked how many times it did happen. All I know is this. You know what? Whether they're an angel or a human, the commands remain the same. We shouldn't overlook anybody here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And matter of fact, we ought to put more effort into somebody if we knew they were human and not an angel. That angel, when he gets done with his job, is going back to heaven. That human being, depending on what kind of job we do, may never get to heaven. Did you get that? And so let's just decide we're going to be a church that understands the importance of hospitality. Now I'm going to give you some real practical things, just boom, 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 and then we'll have prayer, and we'll have our prayer time, and then we'll head on out of here, okay? Number one, let me encourage you all. By the way, this is for everybody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number one, look for visitors before and after each service. Just look for visitors before and after each service. That means you just got to kind of train yourself to be scanning the crowd. You got to train yourself to kind of watch the back door of the church. You got to train yourself while I'm asking for hands to be raised and see where the ushers are heading. If somebody's in your area, boy, you know what? Now you know they're there. They raise their hand. They're visitors. This is the first time they're there. Listen, look for visitors before. Look for them after the service. Spend a little bit of time cruising around, looking around for visitors. Number two, approach a visitor. Don't wait for them to approach you. Visitors, for the most part, aren't going to approach you. That's not their job. You approach them and introduce yourself. Always just get in the habit of introducing yourself, okay? Go to them, see them, and introduce yourself. Number three, ask their names. After you've introduced yourself, ask their name and shake their hands. Hold your hand out there, shake their hands. Welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, let me give you a little hint here. When you ask their names, listen for their names. Now, the best thing for me to do, have you ever done that? You ever ask somebody their name, and about 10 seconds later, you're thinking, what did they say? I can't remember what they said. So here's a little trick of the trade, something that'll help you to learn to be hospitable, is when they say your name, repeat it back to them. Say it. You know, something that you formed and said out loud yourself, it increases, they say it increases 800% your ability to remember something that you've heard and said, as opposed to what you've heard. So you say my name. They say my name's Mr. Logan. Well, Mr. Logan, is that right? Mr. Logan, it's good to meet you. And your wife's name. And then as she tells you, you repeat it. The children's name, you repeat. If you say it out loud, you've got a better chance of remembering it. This will help you to remember their names. By the way, it won't just help you to remember their names. It'll help you during the invitation and during the service to pray for them by name. Okay, because they may be saved, but they may be coming and sitting under the gospel for the first time, or maybe they've heard it before but they've never been saved. So repeat their names back. Let me give you a number five. Here's something else. Number five, help sort their children to the right Sunday school classrooms. Now, if people come in for Sunday school and you see their visitors and they got kids, man, make a special effort to get over there. And then always say, hey, you know what? Do you want me to go ahead and help you? Or I'll tell you what, I could come up later on when they just start dismissing. Why don't I come back here and I'll help and make sure all your kids get to the right Sunday school room. And so be sensitive to that kind of thing. If somebody comes in at the last minute, sets by you, you know what? The staff, we haven't had a chance to even get to them. They're sitting right there in your area. Just take the initiative. Help them sort their children to the right Sunday school classroom. Another thing is, after you've introduced yourself, if there's other members in the area, say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Hey, let me introduce you to some of the people at our church here. Hey, come here a minute. Hey, I want you to meet these folks. They're brand new. These are just little things where you're developing the skill set that it takes to be hospitable. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll say, how old are you? And they'll say, maybe one of their daughters, and she'll say, she's 9 years old. I'll say, hold on a minute. We've got some girls around here that's pretty close to that age. I'll be right back. And I'll go grab a couple of the girls that are 9, 10 years old. I'll say, hey, come with me. There's a new girl your age back here. Why don't you take a minute and just say hi to her real quick? And see, that's not only me being hospitable, that's me helping to train our children to be hospitable. And so grab somebody near their age. Introduce them, some people around them, and take the initiative and make them feel at home. Okay? Number seven, well, here's a little thing, but I think it's nice. If you shake their hand, ask them, did you get a bulletin on your way in? And they may say, well, no, I didn't get one. Hold on, I'll go get you one. You may go back there. We may be out of bullets. And sometimes we run out. If we do, take your bullets. Say, here, I can share with my husband, or I know what's going on most of the time around here. Go ahead and take this bullet and take it and have it. Also, another thing. Yeah, we keep, as a matter of fact, we've got them right. I went back to make sure we had. We got a box right above the white cabinet back there. There's a box, and I try to always keep a box of the Grace Will Lead Me Home books back in our foyer. If you look in the coat closet somewhere in there, usually on the shelf somewhere, you'll see a brown box. If you see a brown box, usually it's a box full of Grace Will Lead Me Home. Now, sometimes we get them empty, and by the way, that's not just for you to get for a visitor. If you want to take some, carry them in your car, look for veterans. That's what they're there for. They're so that you can have some with you. You can use them as a tool. You can be at Walmart. You can be at a restaurant. You can see somebody come in with a Vietnam veteran's hat on, or you may see somebody pull in beside you and park, and they've got a sticker on the back and say that they fought in the Korean War, or sometimes they got the license plate that says DAV, Disabled American Veteran. And so, man, if you've got some of them in the car, you can grab them, go over and say, hey, you know what, I just want to shake your hand. I got a gift for you. I want to thank you for serving our country. It's a great witnessing tool. But one of the things that you could do is just say, hey, listen, our pastor wrote something. Hold on a second. I want to go get you something. I'll be right back. And, you know, I think it's always nice for visitors to leave. Now, we've got a nice visitor's packet. We've got some nice things in there for them, and they get a nice pen and all of that. But anything around here, look around. You find something and hand it to them. Say, here's something that you can have, something to take home. Now, the Grace Will Lead Me Home is a great book to grab because Ron Allen got saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's got the salvation presentation in it, but also it says a lot about how affected he was by our church. So it's a great tool for a visitor to give them. Okay, number nine, or whatever we're on after the service, if they're kind of hanging around, they don't seem like they're in a big hurry, offer to give them a tour of the facilities. Now, I do this with a lot of the visitors, but sometimes I get caught, or there's more than one visitor. But if you watch after the service, a lot of times I'll say to them, hey, let me show you around the church just real quick. I'll give you the quarter tour. It won't cost you a dime. And I'll say, let me show you something. I'll walk them down Missionary Hall, and I'll take them downstairs and show them the Sunday school class. I'll walk them down through, and if they're interested in seeing the school building, I'll take them out, show them the school building. Well, what I want them to do is, hey, you know what? I'm proud of what God's doing here. I am. I'm excited about it. I want them to see more than just the front door, the foyer, and the auditorium and out. I want them to see that there's all kinds of things going on. And as I'm going around, I'm telling them about Sunday school teachers. If they've got children, man, this is where you'd go to Sunday school if they just came into church. And you know what we also do in this room? We have master's clubs, and it gives me a chance to tell about the different things that the church has going here. And take the initiative. Do that. Show them around the facilities, but don't just show them empty rooms. Tell them about what happens in these rooms. Tell them about what goes on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number 10, let me speak to our children for just a minute. I'm going to take the last few minutes and talk to the children and the teenagers. See, folks, this is an adult responsibility. The Bible doesn't say adults be given to hospitality. It says every Christian is supposed to be given to hospitality. Teenagers, you can make a huge impact on visitors. I promise you this, one or two teenagers going up and introducing yourself to a visitor has more of an impact on that visitor than 20 adults coming up to them. I know that by experience. I know that because I'm in their homes and I hear what the visitors say after they've been at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And they almost always mention if teenagers have come up and said something to them. They almost always mention if children came up and said something to them. So let me say this, guys. The honest truth is, you guys right here on the front row, you know, when I go say hi to them, they think, well, yeah, he's the pastor. They pay him to be friendly. So they're not as impressed. Honestly, they're not. They just kind of figure it's my job. One of you guys do it, it's going to make a bigger impact. This may seem crazy to you, but it'll make a bigger impact on a visitor for you, two or three of you guys, two or three of you young ladies to go up and greet a visitor than if I go do it. And teenagers, same thing. You know what, folks? That's almost unheard of. It's not true here. But in the world, for the most part, teenagers are punks. They don't think about anybody but themselves, and they are not friendly, and they're not trained. And if you finally do say something to them, this is usually their reaction. Oh, You know, something about as intelligent as that. So you as a young person that's been trained in a Christian home, in a good church, you walk up and you articulate to them how glad you are to see them, and you reach out and you give them a good handshake, look them in the eye, and you're polite, and you find out the names, and you thank them for coming. I'm going to tell you, that is huge. I can't tell you how huge that is and an impact it makes on the people that come here. Now, let me say this. Children, teenagers, when you go into your Sunday school class, look for visitors in your Sunday school class. Boy, that's so important. I'll tell you what, the honest truth is, whether or not that child or that teenager comes back long term will probably be decided on the first Sunday or at most the second Sunday that they're here. We usually get a visitor one time or two times, and we've got that chance. And you know what? If they basically walk in and they sit by themselves in church, and they go down in opening assembly, they go down and they sit back in a corner, and no one says anything to them, no one's friendly, no one goes to introduce themselves, they'll do that for about two Sundays, and then they simply won't be back. The Sunday school teacher can make them feel at home, go shake their hand, can write them a letter, can visit them, and should. But I'm telling you that if they are not befriended by their peers, for the most part, you won't keep them more than one or two Sundays. And so you've got a huge responsibility, children. I can't become a child, just like you can't become an adult. I can't turn into a child and go do your job for you. The children have to do it, and the teenagers have to do it. And so take some time on Sunday morning, look around, find those visitors, go up there and shake their hand, smile at them, talk to them a little bit, make sure that they know that you're glad that they're here. Now, if you have children, some children that are visiting and they're in your Sunday school class, and you go to junior church afterwards, volunteer to take them. You got to understand, they don't know what's going on next. They don't know what's next. They're brand new here. So if they're in your class, and that class usually goes on to junior church, sit with them, introduce yourself. When class is over, they're going to kind of look like, where do we go? Just say, hey, next thing we go to is junior church. Stay with me. I know exactly where to go. I'll make sure you get there, and I'll sit with you in junior church. Man, that just all of a sudden, it's a relief, because instead of being lost, instead of not knowing where to go next, instead of it being awkward, you know, all of a sudden they've got a buddy that's going to take them to the next thing. Now, if you take them to junior church, let me make an suggestion to you. After junior church is over, ask them, did you come with your parents or did you ride a bus? If they rode a bus, you'll ask them which one, and they'll say the red one. That's exactly what they'll say. They'll say the red bus. And so what you'll have to do, I'm teaching our children something very important here right now. What you'll have to do is you'll say, well, what town do you live in? And so if they say, well, I'm from Shelburne, and then go to the bus that smells like meth. And that's the one that... That's the... I tried to resist that. I really did. But I didn't pick on Chimera this time, Brother Joe. I left Chimera alone for once, and I moved on to another fine Sullivan County town, you know. No, don't do that. But even if you say, well, I'm not sure myself, then go over and say, hey, don't worry, we'll find it. Just stay with me. And real quickly run by the buses and say, hey, they rode Shelburne. They're from Shelburne. Which bus is it? Even if you're not sure yourself, one of the adults out there will say, hey, that's that one down there, and make sure you get them on the right bus. If they say, I rode with my parents, then say, hey, why don't you come with me? They're probably going to be waiting in the foyer. I'll show you exactly. We'll make sure we hook you up. Now, listen, young people. That is going to make a huge impact. I'm not in junior church. I can't do that. I'm not in your Sunday school class. I can't do that. And so every child, every teenagers, when you got a visitor in your class, when the service is over, they don't know where they're supposed to go next. And so you grab a hold of them and say, listen, why don't you come sit with me during church? Well, we go upstairs now. We sit in the main service. Come on with me. I'll get you right there. By the way, you need to hit the restroom on the way. You want to get a drink or anything like that, I'll show you where everything is. And just take good care of them. Now, what we need to do, and by the way, when you've got little ones, parents, and you're going around and you're greeting the visitors and you're showing Christian hospitality, you know what? Take some of your children along with you. Shake the people's hand. Introduce them to your children, what that does as they're growing up is that trains them so that this just becomes second nature to them. If they grow up doing that, they grow up being taken with mom and dad and shaking the visitor's hands, they're just going to think that's part of going to church. What do you do? You show up, and you know what? One of the first things you do is you look around and you find some visitors, and what you do during after church is you go and find some visitors, and they'll think that's just normal church. By the way, that ought to be normal church. That ought to be normal church. So what the Bible is teaching us tonight, what I wanted us to learn was these principles concerning the importance of hospitality. All Christians given to it. Pastors, my goodness sake, have to do this. Absolutely have to do this. And then hospitality shown amongst the brethren. Sure, go after visitors, but on your way, be sure you're kind to each other. And then don't spend so much time being kind to each other, you let the visitors get away. A nice, balanced approach that helps us to become a church that is obeying the scripture in this matter of hospitality. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use what we've talked about tonight. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that this would affect every individual and every family. Lord, help the leadership of each family to take what's been taught and say, hey, we're going to do this as a family. We're going to do this at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, may parents reinforce these things to their young people, even maybe this Sunday morning on the way to church. Hey, let's talk about what the pastor talked about on Wednesday night. Let's talk about that a minute, because when you go to class, I want you to take special care to look around and see if you see anybody that's unfamiliar, anybody that looks like they might be new. Go sit back there with them, introduce yourself to them, find out a little bit about them, and try to be a friend to them. Now, Lord, thank you that you, I think many of us, as we were hearing this tonight, probably in our minds, we wandered back when we were that visitor. And Lord, probably there's some people that stuck out in our mind that just went out of their way to make us feel a part. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd do the same. We pray in Jesus' name.